Well, today we are going to be in Mark chapter 6. We're backing up. I know, the previous week we did Mark 11, the triumphal entry. And then we jumped all the way to Mark 16 for the resurrection. And now we're going to go back and fill in the little gap of blind Bartimaeus. So that will be our passage this morning. So Mark chapter 6, starting at chapter 10, starting at verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and then said to him, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight, and he followed Jesus on the way. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. So as we come to this passage, we need to back up for a moment and remember that we are prior to the triumphal entry. And think of the things in the previous weeks. Yeah, we got to go back 3 weeks. But where we've been and where Mark has taken you, he has presented King Jesus to you as the Redeemer, as the Savior. And some of the last things that we have seen in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 10, verse 32, you'll see there. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. Look at the response. And they were amazed. And those who followed him were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him. And you remember this was the third time. Jesus said, "I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be brutalized. I will be crucified. And I will be raised again on the third day." And as we've seen, Mark has shown us right over these guys' heads. They're not getting it. But here's the thing. Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem. Verse 32 there, I can just see, you know, Jesus just strutting along. I remember my grandfather Shaw. You know, we go down to the mall, and man, I tell you what, I think he was in his 70s at that point, and my wife can attest, we could not keep up with him. Man, he would just set his face, and he'd walk through that mall like nothing else. And these disciples and his followers are sort of like, man, he got a bee in his bonnet. He is intense. Notice the response that Mark has clued you in there. They're amazed. He's going to his death, and he's like walking there like he's excited. Other people are like, this is a man on a mission. Sorry, Blues Brothers. A mission from God. Literally, Jesus was. And he was set with his face towards Jerusalem, and they're freaked out by this. And now, Mark, he set this stage. And as we come to this verse 46, he tells us they passed through Jericho. Now, I should have probably put a map up here, but you've come from the northern part of Israel. He's come down. He's crossed over into the valley where the Jordan River is. They've crossed over that area. And now they're coming back up. And as you come towards the west from the Jordan River, you go through Jericho, and then it's an uphill walk to Jerusalem. It's about a half-mile elevation rise, over 18 to 20 miles. So it's all uphill, just gentle uphill slope. So this walk from Jericho to Jerusalem, not the easiest, but that's what the pilgrims typically would do. And we saw last week, the previous week in the triumphal entry. They would sing the psalms as they would go, and they'd walk these last road into Jerusalem. That's when they would sing the psalms. And it was sort of a tradition thing. But Jesus is not doing it in a traditional way. He's got his face set to Jerusalem, and he's intense. And it's interesting that here Mark, in these verses, just before the triumphal entry, he has taken a pause. Mark doesn't take a pause for many things. He's very, this is how it happened. This happened next, and next, and next. And here he is. He's giving us almost an interruption. Well, Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem, and then he comes across blind Bartimaeus. And he stops, and he interacts with him. So we need to ask ourselves, why? But there's also one other thing that we need to be careful. It's funny, as I was preparing for this, the number of different commentators and pastors over the years, how often this is approached, I would submit to you, from the wrong angle, from the position of Bartimaeus. And it'll typically be done something to the effect, this is how you can have faith. Instead of, who's the main character of the Gospel of Mark? Jesus. Yeah, Sunday school answer. Maybe furry and have a tail, but it's still Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. And so we need to be careful when we come to this passage. We can look at it from the wrong perspective because we are so prone, you know. Planet Mark, population one, welcome to my world. And I'm going to look at everything from my perspective. And you do the same thing. Planet, fill in your name. We're so prone to that. And here's the deal. If we're not careful, we will look at this passage the way so many do, from a self-centered gospel of religion. Oh, well, this is how I do this to be accepted by God. Or we can look at this, as I think Paul Tripp put it, he says we can look at it through the lens of the gospel of redemption. What has Jesus come to do? And let's bring ourselves back to that. And see, if we wrongly approach this passage, we are going to make Bartimaeus the hero of the story. He's simply one of the cogs in the wheel. He is not the hero. Yes, he got a great blessing out of it, but he's not the hero. And if you make Bartimaeus the hero of the story, the next application will be, this is how you can be like Bartimaeus. You can be a person of faith. And that makes the story into a moral Sunday school lesson. Do this and God will love you. That doesn't smell like the gospel, does it? The reality is God loves us and he has sent Christ on a mission to redeem us. And so what happens if we flip things around and we look at this story from the aspect of what God is doing in the main character, who is Jesus Christ? And that's what we want to look at this morning. Now, the reason it's so easy to approach it the other way is so many of us want to fall back into, I call it the ease of religion. The ease of religion is this. I read my Bible. I gave him my tithe. I did this. I did that. I did that. Okay, I met the standard, right, God? There's no one good, no, not one, no one who seeks God. All of our righteous acts are as filthy rags. Because see, you know, I was just talking with someone this week, and they were struggling with the reality. They said, you don't understand, I'm not a good person. It's like, duh, I know that. I'm not a good person either. I don't naturally get up in the morning and go, Jesus, how am I going to bless you today? Now, hopefully, because I get up and one of the first things I try and discipline myself to do is come to the Word of God. I come back to that and go, okay, now I have this on, Lord. Help me be an instrument of blessing for you today. But this is not default mode. I wish it were. We're fallen, rebellious creatures. And the other thing I think that comes in there is none of us ever want to believe how far we are from what God has created us to be. That we don't want to believe that we are utterly dependent upon the mercy and grace of God. Well, surely there's something I can do to get myself to a point that's safe, right? No, there's not. It's what God has done through Jesus Christ. And it's amazing when you look at all the religions of the world. They're all about do this, do this, do this, and then God will tolerate you. God will accept you. Maybe you will make the cut. Oh, how depressing. Instead of looking towards the mercy and the grace of God alone and saying, you know what? The God that is revealed in Scripture is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a wonderful God. And all He asks me to do is come to Him. That's the heart of what we see here. And, you know, it's funny. We look around and we go, it's easy for me to believe that, you know, I'm not like George over there. He falls short. And, you know, I see all his faults and I see what my neighbor does. But I'm not too bad. See, the gospel has got to be the key that we come back to. And that's why as we look at this story of blind Bartimaeus, I want you to look at this story through the lens of the gospel of redemption. Why did Christ come? What is he here for? What is his mission? And what we see when we do that is the hero of the story is not Bartimaeus. The hero of the story is Jesus, as he is about the ultimate mission of redemption. So, let's take a look at the story there. Mark tells us that Jesus has left Jericho. He's on his way. Interestingly, this is the final miracle in the Gospel of Mark. It's the last miracle that's recorded in this Gospel. And it's almost as if Mark wants to show you and me this is who Jesus is. He can give sight to the blind. He can wake the dead. This is King Jesus, God himself. And so Mark tells us there's this large crowd and all the pilgrims, and we know from extra-biblical writings that this was normal, that there'd be these crowds going down the street. You think Dorchester Road is bad at traffic hour. This road going up to Jerusalem. All the pilgrims from all over Israel are coming in to Passover, and they're singing the Psalms, and you can just imagine what a party this is. And Mark has told us all this is going about, and Jesus is walking along. And then Mark tells us that there's this Bartimaeus. You know, he's picked a good spot. High traffic count, lots of pilgrims coming by. They're going to worship God, and a couple of them are going to be favorable. Help out this blind beggar. And he hears through the crowd. He can't see, but you know how it works. He can listen really well. Oh, that's Jesus. That's that guy they keep talking about. You can imagine all of the roar and the hush that's going on as Bartimaeus is sitting there. And what's funny is Mark actually tells us some details about Bartimaeus, that he's the son of Timaeus, and Bar being son. So literally, the name we're given is son of Timaeus. You know, I was like, why in the world have you given us these facts? I think what he wants us to realize is this is one individual man. He's a blind beggar. He has no standing in society. He's not a Pharisee. He's not a righteous man. He's simply a blind beggar, somebody that people would walk by. You've never done that? Walk by someone begging? And just, okay, don't have time. Just move right on. We look at him and we go, they're nobody. They're a man without prestige. There's nothing they can bring to the table for me. Let me just go on to the next thing. And this is what we would expect Jesus to do. Is just to walk by him, because what's Bartimaeus going to bring to Jesus' plate if you want to think like his disciples have been thinking? You know, we're going to Jerusalem and you're the Messiah and you're going to overthrow Jerusalem and you need to be communicating and talking with people who will help you. Bartimaeus is not one of those. And so Bartimaeus begins crying out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. And what are the crowd? What are the disciples? My guess is his own disciples were like, shut that guy up. We've got, you know, we're coming to Jerusalem and we don't need less than desirables, you know, dragging this thing down. We're on a mission. We're on a mission from God where we're going to accomplish. Jesus is simply too busy for this nobody. But praise God that Bartimaeus doesn't listen. He's like, I'm just going to cry all the louder. I'm going to yell out. And as Mark puts it, he cried out all the more. Son of David, have mercy upon me. And Mark helps us understand that he is indeed going, this is my only hope. This is, everybody says, the Son of God. And so I am going to appeal to him because he can help me. He alone can help me. So think for a moment. What about you? Are you in some ways like Bartimaeus? Do you look at your life and go, I'm not really that remarkable. I don't bring a whole lot to the equation. Sometimes you may look around and go, well, you know, I'm getting older. You know, I can't do the things that I used to do, and I'm not sure that I'm a lot of benefit to the kingdom. It's easy to start thinking that way because Satan loves that. He wants to think you're sidelined, that you're not special. Or maybe you're thinking like Bartimaeus, you know, when I die, there's probably not going to be an entry in the history books about me. If I'm lucky and, you know, prepay my tombstone, maybe there will be a tombstone that will last for a couple hundred years here. But that's it. Poof, I'm gone. When my family's dead and gone, all the memories of me are dead and gone. Because not too many of us in this room have chapters in the history book. We're nobody. But here's the thing, and I think what Mark wants to see, us to see in blind Bartimaeus, most of us are like Bartimaeus. We're nobodies. We go about our lives, and you know what? Your lives are important. But in the big scheme of things, it just doesn't feel very important at times, does it? But here's the deal. Here's the reality that we need to remember. We live unremarkable lives in little mundane moments. And the question is whom do we live for? Do we live for the glory of God, or do we live for our own little kingdoms? And here is Bartimaeus going, I'm nobody. I need mercy. I need God's mercy. And see, in your mundane life and my mundane life, if God's grace can't meet us. If God won't reach out to us, then we are a really sad group of people. But here was Bartimaeus going, have mercy upon me. And we see that Mark shows us an amazing thing that God does. Now, let me switch gears for a moment. Put yourself in the shoes of Jesus. I don't like this one. If you were Jesus walking down that road and you are given a mission by God the Father to go to Jerusalem and offer yourself, be crucified, buried, and resurrected, where's Mark Bartimaeus fit in the whole picture? Too many of us are, well, I'm on a mission from God. I don't have time to worry about this guy. He doesn't bring a lot to the... You see how we can get so mission-focused, we forget? God's greatest joy is His creation, us. Men and women created in the image of God as image bearers. And so, Jesus doesn't go, shut that guy up. We got a goal here. He hears Bartimaeus. He hears the cry for mercy. Have mercy upon me. And he responds. Isn't that amazing? That's the heart of God. Help us as a body of believers, you as an individual believer, as you go about your day, keep in step with the Spirit. There are things, you're not called to solve every problem in the world. You can't solve world hunger. Did you know that? Even Jesus said, the poor and the hungry you'll always have with you. But there may be people that God places in your path. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's someone else that you can do something about and show the love of Christ one step at a time. So what Jesus models for us is it is okay to remember, yes, I'm on a mission. But part of my mission is showing mercy and compassion on the way. And that's what we see in verse 49, Jesus stopped. You know, they're all walking along, and he stops, and he calls, and he says, call him. Imagine this. Bartimaeus is calling out to Jesus. Does Bartimaeus understand that this is actually Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the creator of all the things that he has been calling to? I often puzzle on that. Does Bartimaeus get it? I don't know. We're not told, are we? But here's the one thing we are told. Jesus cares about his creation. Jesus cares for this unremarkable blind beggar sitting on the side of the road. Now, how do you apply it? What are you facing in your life? You find that life is just not quite what you want. That, man, I thought everything was going to be so exciting now that this happened and it's just not all that. Or a health issue or whatever. Does God care? I pray and I ask God to, you know, show me the path. And here's the thing. God always cares. Jesus cares. Don't wonder if Jesus is too busy to worry about your needs. The things that matter to you. Cry out to him. Oh, I can assure you, God will not answer you the way you probably want it answered. Okay? But how does the psalmist put it? Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Unfortunately, so many people forget that first phrase. Delight yourself in God. Look to him, and your values and your desires are going to change a lot. Too many of us are steeped in the values of the world. Remember this, God is not too busy to deal with you. He's not too busy to respond to your needs. He will work in your life. And I guess as I get older, I find more and more he works in my life in ways that I never even thought about. And how often do I have to walk for a while and then go, whoa, that was God working. Wow, how cool is that? You see, that's how our God functions. Paul wrote to the Philippians. You know the verses, Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about everything, about anything, but in all things by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What an amazing thing. Now, when you walk this way, when you say, you know what, I know my God cares and he listens to me. There are going to be people around you, it's like, you know, you need to stop doing this. You need to start. They're going to tell you all kinds of things. They did that to Bartimaeus, right? Shut up! You're bothering God. You don't bother the creator of the universe. Keep calling out. Have mercy upon me. Lord, I want to do what is right. I want to know you. I want to experience. And amazingly, God is faithful with that because he will pour out his mercy. And notice, Mark shows us in his narrative here, that was the turning point. It wasn't his persistence that got Jesus' attention. It was Jesus who knew that Bartimaeus was there. He just simply stopped and he called out. Because a creature of God fussing. That's what Bartimaeus was doing. Standing before the Creator, crying out. And the Creator is there, willing and full of mercy. And so, Jesus calls Bartimaeus. He comes to him. There's some translations that says he ran over. Imagine a blind man running. The ESV says he sprang up. So you can get that he's not just kind of, oh. He's bounding over there in faith to Jesus. And he's now face to face. Now, picture the scene. The Creator, the very one who created all things. And he created them how? Good. And he even created humans how? Very good. Here is blind Bartimaeus standing before him. The effects of the fall are in full view. As blind Bartimaeus, created in the image of God, who now is affected by the ravages of the fall and sin in his body, stands before the Creator. That's what Mark is showing us, is the contrast. What's Jesus' mission here? He's on his way to redeem this very creation. And he's going to do it. He's going to be crucified, buried, and raised again on the third day. But it's almost as if Jesus goes, I kind of want to let you see what's going to happen before all this does happen. And that's the issue with Bartimaeus. Because we're told in Scripture there was a time on this earth when there was no blindness, no sickness, no suffering. And yet Jesus is standing face to face with just a disgusting example of what the fall does. How many times have you sat with a person who is in pain, is in struggle? And you go, why, Lord? And the only answer we have is because of sin in this world, because of the effects of the fall. But thanks be to God who gives us a release from that. Not always in our perfect timing, but in God's perfect timing. Case in point, our dear brother, David Paluta, he was released this week and promoted. He's face to face with his Savior now. What an amazing thing that, you know, he's finished his course. But God is gracious, and he has allowed him and gently called him home. What a joy, what a privilege. It's like, remember the hymn we sing at Christmas? He comes to make his blessing flow as far as the curse is found. That's why Jesus Christ came. Joy to the world. He's coming to bring his blessings. Now, it's not perfect, and it's not like those false teachers who go, oh, you just do this or give a little bit more money, and you know what, you're going to have a new car, and your health will be fine, and you'll live forever, and how many of them die? They all die. Because we still live in a fallen world. We live in the now and the not yet. And yes, Jesus has come to redeem us. And let us remember that his redemption is complete because it's what he has done for us. But we will still have these effects. And so here is Jesus standing face to face with Bartimaeus. And I love the question. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Doesn't matter that Bartimaeus is his nobody. Jesus simply says, what do you want me to do for you? That is the ultimate question that all of us need to answer. As you look, how does Scripture say it? Is it appointed unto man once to die and after that? Judgment. We're all going to get there. And what do you say when you stand before the Creator on that day? It doesn't matter about your money or your gender or your station in life or your fill in all the different blanks of the way the world categorizes us. We are all a creation of God. And the only thing that matters is which race are you in? The fallen first Adam or the resurrected second Adam? That's really all that God cares about. Do you walk in faith and place yourself in the second race? I'm of Jesus. I'm not worthy to be here, Lord, but Jesus, he went to the cross, he was crucified, he was buried, and he was resurrected for me. I'm not worthy, Lord, but he did it for me, and I believe it. And what are the next words that your Savior is going to say? Well done, my good and faithful servant. But I didn't do that well. But Jesus did. And his record is yours. That's the gospel. That's the hope that you and I have, every single one of us. And so when Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? That's what he's asking of Bartimaeus. Now, interestingly, we've already heard these words once before in the Gospel of Mark. Do you remember that? Look at Mark 10:36. James and John? He asked them, what do you want me to do for you? Little different attitude of James and John and Bartimaeus, huh? And I think Mark wants you to contrast those two. They're the same words that Jesus asked, the same question. Now, what do James and John want?
Jesus, we've worked hard with you. We've been with you for a couple years now. You know, we've been out in that boat with you. We worked hard getting that food distributed that you just produced. And we'd kind of like some good seats in the kingdom. Can you arrange that?
Sorry to be so harsh on these guys, because I would have been right there with them. You would have too. But contrast, what do you want me to do for you? James and John were going, I'm not too bad. You know, we've done all right. We've earned our position. Can we have a good spot in the kingdom? What's Bartimaeus' attitude? Jesus, I got no hope. I don't bring anything to the table. I'm blind. I'm a beggar. What's he asked for? Have mercy upon me. I'd like to see. And boy, does he not get it. Bartimaeus says, let me recover my sight. He does not understand that he has just asked a spiritual question more than a physical question. I imagine Bartimaeus was thinking physical. I want to see again. But because of his faith in the Creator, in the Redeemer, in the Messiah who is standing before him, what's Jesus say? Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus looks right straight down into Bartimaeus' heart and realizes he's not bringing anything to the table. Bartimaeus is in true gospel faith. He's going, I don't have anything. If you don't have mercy on me, I got no hope. There's the heart of the gospel, my brother and sister. The heart of the gospel is you don't bring anything to the table. You see, we're too quick to go, well, you know, I do all this around the church, and isn't God lucky to have me? Well, not really. He would have plenty of other creations that would fill those shoes. And yes, he does use you in a very valuable way. But that's Ephesians 2:10. You're just simply doing the good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. And when you get the crown for it, you're going to chunk it at Jesus' feet anyhow. You see, it's the heart of the gospel. And let us be careful of not falling back into James and John. You know, we didn't do too bad. Let us have the attitude of Bartimaeus. Let us have that heart of saving faith every day. As you often hear me say, we need to preach the gospel to ourselves on a regular basis. You need to preach the gospel to me, and I need to preach it to you. And basically be reminding one another, you're not as good as you think you are. But you know what? God's mercy and grace is far more powerful than you can ever imagine. Rest in what he's done. That's the gospel. And so as we look at this saving faith, we need to be like Bartimaeus. We spring up every day and we run back and we preach the gospel to ourselves. What do I want Jesus to do for me? I want him to have mercy upon me because I know what Jesus did. And how does John put it? Remember 1 John 3:16? Do you know that God loves you? You can quote this one to yourself. This is how you can know what love is. And what's the next phrase? Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. And so you know that God has proven his love for you at the cross, at the burial, at the resurrection. And so let us, like Bartimaeus, run to Jesus with nothing in our hands other than, I'm ready for some mercy, God. I love how the author of Hebrews puts it in Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. That's the heart of the gospel for each and every one of us. What did Bartimaeus get out of it? He got a sight, and he got to follow Jesus. And for those of you who have received your spiritual sight from Jesus, he's given you new life in him. As you've trusted that his work has been for you, you get to follow Jesus. You can imagine Bartimaeus follows Jesus up into Jerusalem. And the things he's about to see are mind-blowing. As we follow Jesus, we'll be amazed as he works through our brothers and sisters, through the body of Christ. We'll be amazed at the things we will see. So remember, the heart of the gospel for us as we look at blind Bartimaeus is this. You come to Jesus with nothing. But God is merciful. He has loved us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Rest and trust in his mercy and his mercy alone. By faith alone. By grace alone. In Christ alone.